H, a resolution amending the schedule of fees for alcohol licensing in the city of Dunwoody, Georgia. Schedule A.
See the question. Okay, can, I get, is there anybody, staff, please, on this?
I believe the only change in the schedule of fees that you see on the Schedule A, the two from the bottom and three from the bottom, the wine tasting event, wine tasting annual, and resident catered event. And those are $50 for wine tasting event per day. Wine tasting annual permit would be $300, and resident catered event would be $50 per day.
Okay. Brian, do you have anything to say about this? This is what we discussed earlier. I think we asked about other municipalities.
Just a couple. One is, this puts the resident caterers on the same foot as non-resident caterers, which by statute says $50. So that seems just that there would be at no disadvantage, one way or the other. The one licensee that has requested a wine tasting, I proposed these fees to him, and he thought they were excellent, for whatever that's worth. And that was a total wine, by the way.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Maybe the fee should be $4,000.
What I suggest would be that that's very good, and that would be the end of discussion.
Okay. So at this juncture, if we pass this, we really don't have any litmus test on other municipalities, right? Any of y'all, I mean, what? Just out of curiosity. Yeah. That's fine. Okay, yeah.
I think in the case of Total Wines, they may have accepted this on the basis that they really can't have wine tasting there until they have get rid of the spirits part of their business. So they cannot have wine tasting there. The only person I think that would really be impacted by this wine tasting thing would be the fundraiser that we have at Fresh Market for the library, for the sexual players. I think it works.
Okay, any other questions for Warren or Brian?
Okay, Warren, could I ask in the future that the changes be redlined or something? And one other question. You know, I took back the nonprofit annual $500 for your wine. We passed this around before I jump out in the middle of the stream here. Is this the number that you were talking about setting for, i.e., folks that are going to, Dunwoody Nature Center and things like that?
The other fees are pour licenses. If they actually take wine in to their establishment and don't actually sell the liquor itself, this schedule fee would not apply.
So in other words, if the wine was kind of on the house, it doesn't apply?
They would need a separate permit. That would not be these permits that we are talking about here apply to places that have a pour license or a pour license fee. So if they're not going to sell it by the, you know, sell the wine or sell the, these fees do not apply. There's different fees.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
All right.
We adopt the ordinance.
Second.
All right, any discussion on this? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Tucker. And at that meeting, most of the directors, I should say, of the DC, were in attendance. It also included the director, John Manns, as well as the COO of the DeKalb County District Bureau. I'm sorry, not DeKalb County. This is not a county organization. This is the DeKalb Convention District Bureau. Gary Greenhut was in attendance also. The three hotel managers from the Embassy Suites, the Marriott, and the Crown Plaza were also there. And they serve on the board up in DCBB. We had a very constructive meeting where John Manns went through the operations of the DCBB. Our objective was to learn more about what they do, as well as to discuss with them how we might work with them on an interim basis until we get our convention bureau set up. And during the meeting, he gave a presentation, an executive presentation of what they do. They've got 14 people working in there, so they're very people intensive in my view, to kind of give you some feel for the effectiveness of what they do. Last year, the five hotels in Dunwoody, five hotels make up five of the 95 total hotels in the entire DeKalb County. We have five of them here. Of the $2.9 million in revenue, it's produced $900,000 out of Keene from these five hotels. So you can see that we produce about a third of the revenues from five hotels versus the other 90 hotels. The effectiveness of what they do, the idea of going to them was to give us a quick start in terms of being able to provide our hotels here some leads and some visitors during their non-peak time, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, when their business travel is reduced. And what the DCBB does, they primarily focus on reunions, they focus on weddings, and they have a couple other sweet spots, but they really market Stone Mountain. That's the number one tourist attraction in Georgia, and that's what they market to their visitors. Our hotels are the best hotels in Dunwoody, I mean in DeKalb County. So we get a lot of the participation from the DCBB. They provided last year 7,257 room nights of visitors to our five hotels. You said that's a lot of nights of visitors, but if you really take that and break it down, we paid these five hotels $900,000 last year. 7,257 visitors nights amounts to about $122 per night per visitor that we're paying for the getting those visitors in. So the hotel, that's found money because it's really a tax. It's not part of his income. It's a tax on his revenues that is paid to the city of Dunwoody. Just to kind of clarify how this thing works, 5%, the state allows us to collect 5% hotel motel excise tax. And of that 5%, 3 of it goes to our general funds and 2 of it goes to the operation of the CBB, wherein we promote the hotels and the visitation people into our community. At the end of the meeting, we agreed that we wanted to get an agreement from them, their standard agreement from them, which we received on Friday. We've had a chance to go through that agreement, and today, the one that was circulated to you in these minutes has been modified a little bit, and I'll kind of point out the 2 or 3 areas where it's been modified, but the agreement was basically the way a hotel pays its tax. Hotel operating collecting taxes in the month of January, those taxes are actually paid on the 20th of February. And so it's in arrears as to when they actually pay Dunwoody. And the question I asked Warren earlier was, how many of these months have we collected? 3 months so far, December, January, February. We will collect the March. The March will be collected in April, and the April will be collected in May. What they've agreed to do is we will pay them for the April. We'll start this agreement to start effective April the 1st, it's proposed. And we'll pay them for the April taxes collected on June 15th. So we get paid by the hotels on the 20th of May, and June 15th, the hotels, we then pay at BCBB under this agreement. And we made a small change in here because this agreement really calls for us paying all of our taxes for 2009 to them for the service. And obviously, we're not going to pay for anything until we start using it, and that's going to be effective the 1st of April. So that part of a paragraph, it's paragraph 9 was changed. The first sentence of paragraph 9 was changed. And the first sentence now reads, the agreement will remain in effect from April the 1st, 2009 until midnight, December 31, 2009, unless as soon as terminated. I'm sorry, that's not the
Yeah, you're looking for...
Okay.
You're looking for 4.
Okay. It's actually 4 that was changed. The city agrees that it will pay to the corporation the amount of the excess taxes collected for it for each month, starting from the month that includes the date of the execution until the month that includes the date of the termination. That's all administrative fees equal to 3% of such amount is to be retained by the city. That was changed. There's also a clarification that really clarified how this tax is going to be paid. It's going to be paid actually in arrears on the 15th, on or before the 15th of the month after the taxes are actually paid to the hotelers. Is that clear?
Okay.
With this, these changes, I recommend that we approve this contract as written. I think it represents a good way for us to start our CBB. I think it also gives us some power that we can start the CBB, something in the range of $250 million, and we can launch the CBB. And what I'm going to propose is, in addition to approving this, that we have a hearing on the CBB at the meeting on the 20th of this month.
No, of April.
20th of April, that we have a hearing on this, public hearings, and that we bring this to the council for approval on the meeting on the 11th of May. That'll be the first reading, and then the second reading will be the third week of the third meeting of the month of May.
Okay, so is that that's a motion?
That's a motion.
You're second on it?
I'll second.
Dr. Bonzer had the second. Any discussion? I'll kick it off. A quick one, John, before I get to you.
I was just wondering if there was any need for public comment since we changed what was published on the Internet.
Yeah, we need to have a lot of public comment. Well, if this is an amendment.
Amended. I think the same agreement is an amendment. So for that alone requires a public
comment. Okay, you're right. So let's,
They've agreed.
Okay, I'm going to step back 2 steps that we need to have. This has been amended. The couple changes Councilman Ross has pointed out, since it's been amended from what was posted, I will open up for public comment. Is there anybody here that would wish to speak for this? Please come up to the podium. Let us know who you are, where you live.
My name is Todd Ellis, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Yes, we think this is a great thing because it does help the hoteliers from having a gap in their future bookings and maintain a relationship with an organization who we will be working with along with the PCID for the Perimeter Marketing Council. So it kind of brings the assets that we have together to work for the common good. Insofar as the future meeting, I think that is good. I don't know in terms of the technical aspects of the meeting, how that will be set up, but I hope it's a bit of a discussion more than just me standing up here and giving you my opinion and others giving individual opinions so that we can have a collective, back and forth about the attributes of the different models that exist, of which there are basically 2. And so with that, I'm excited that we can take care of the short term effectively so that we can also effectively come up with long-term solutions. And I just want to add one thing that Michael Derringer said, a few minutes ago with respect to the shell organization setup. I think it's the intent of the chamber not to control that organization. It's basically to say, if a 501c6 is set up, there it is. In my perfect world, the hoteliers would be the ones controlling it, it'd be theirs, you know, that organization. It wouldn't be the Chamber's organization anymore. If I didn't say anything correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, I don't think I'm wrong on that. So I hope that aligns any concern that you might have with respect to the Chamber's involvement. We want partnerships. We do not want control.
All right, thank you, Mr. Dowell.
My name is Joe DeVita, employee access to one Coldstream Drive, and speaking on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce. Just wanted to make the council aware that the 20th in particular is a day that there is a convention of people that are in the Convention and Visitors Bureau industry. I don't have all the details, but I can get to the information. So that particular date is going to be a date that we won't have available experts from the state and other organizations. So a better choice would be that fall, a Monday after that. I was told that specifically the 20th is a day that all the people in the industry will be unavailable because there's an industry event that will all the people will be at. So any time after that date, or whether we schedule something midweek, one good choice was to have it at the terraces where the other public meetings take place. And would be happy to coordinate any of that with the city council.
Thank you, Mr. DeVita. Anybody else that wishes to speak in favor? Seeing that there's none, anybody that wishes to speak against, please come forward. All right, seeing that there is none, I'm going to close public comment. I'm going to get back to Mr. Ross. I'd ask if you would just restate your motion for the year.
I make a motion that we approve the agreement between the City of Dunwoody and the CAP Pension Convention Visitor Bureau as modified in my discussion in those two areas.
Okay.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Yes.
I've got a question. I guess the 20th is a work session, is that correct?
That's right. That's the
second. And right now, as it stands, as Danny reset his motion, there was no date in there.
Right.
Is that
right?
This is just for
this
document, this agreement, as amended. So, any other discussion on this? Yes, Danny.
I guess I don't. Not clear on this. One question I would have is that. Apparently, if this goes through 12/31/09, apparently, by that time, we anticipate standing up the Dunwoody Convention Visitor Bureau. Is that correct?
Yes. And one thing I didn't point out, this contract can be canceled by either party with 90 days written notice. So it could be a 90-day, 120, whatever it is.
And I guess the second thing, I'm a little confused that we would keep this start date of 1/April/09, and then we're going to have hearings after that date. Help me clarify that for me.
Okay, the hearings are going to be in conjunction with how we organize the actual CBB, as opposed to how we assist our hotels in getting visitors immediately. As you heard from our hotelers last meeting, they're really hurt for business, and we want to help them any way we can to fuel and get that prime out of there.
So the hearings?
The hearings are going to be on in terms of how we organize the CDB.
And if I can jump in there, Danny, just on the maybe clarification, what this document does is a short term, we're passing the current bureau our 2%, and where they're going to give our hotels the leads to try to get the room nights, and then the hearings will take place, and then we'll decide after the hearings as a council which of the two options do we want to go for the longer term. Then that will get set up, and then at whatever point that organization is ready to take the ball, we would cut this contract and pass the money to that group. So this is just between now and then.
So in the meantime, for clarification again, the control of that 2% will go to the CAB Convention Business Bureau. Is that correct?
Now, they'll have milestones that they'll present us with. They'll give us the number of actual leads that they provide. Hotelers have agreed to give us the actual number of conversion of those leads into visitors, room visitors. So we'll have some metrics that we can look at and start to make evaluations on how effective they can be. They've also, I should point out, agreed to produce a minimum amount of materials for voting such things. That they have one piece that promotes the Sproul Arts Center, and they have one that promotes Perimeter Center as a destination shopping center. And they will produce another one, they indicated, on Dunwoody. But if they produce that, we'd have to pay the expense of printing it. So we'll have to take a look and see what they produce when they're created equal approval.
Do we have representation on the DCVB?
There are three of the hotelers that are made up there for their board. The three hotelers.
Other than that, we don't have any.
We have no.
Yourself
No. We just, they've, under this agreement, they have indicated that they would provide us monthly reports on their performance.
It just seems to me like it would be great to have someone, you know, like yourself or Robert, who's been involved in this, kind of as a representation of the council.
I can certainly go back and ask them at least to be able to sit in as an ex officio type person.
I think that would be very appropriate to provide us with some safeguards also. Which is my opinion.
Dan, you said they did agree to the changes.
They did agree to it.
Yeah, Robert. I was at the meeting with the DeKalb Chamber, and I guess I want to make a couple of very brief comments. First of all, I went in with the expectation that this was a pretty mediocre organization and that we were going to be overpaying for relatively small amounts of service, much the way we've been overpaying for DeKalb Police. I actually was relatively impressed. I must say that I came away with a sense that they actually spend their money pretty well. They, you know, do national media buys. They know which magazines yield the best numbers of referrals. They've got databases. They do a variety of different kinds of marketing. These guys struck me as being much more professional than I expected them to be. So I was originally sort of thinking, well, I was going to hold my nose while I voted on this, but I actually think that that this forms a reasonable alternative for our hoteliers, and I think they'll get a decent amount of value for it. I don't think it's a long-term solution. I think we'll do better with our own Convention Business Bureau, but I'm not as worried as I was, I guess, for what that's worth.
Okay, any other discussion on this? Danny?
I would like to amend the agreement to add a statement that the mayor appoints one member of the council as an ex officio member of the DeKalb County DeKalb Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Is there a second?
I just got a point of clarification. I don't know their governance structure.
I
get some clarity. We have one of the board members here, as a matter of fact. Craig, can you elaborate on that, maybe? How that would be received?
No, let's point of order here just for... we've got a motion. I don't think we have a second on it.
I'll second.
Okay, we'll have a second. Now we'll have discussion. Come on up, Craig, as the expert witness. And I'll throw out there, too, before you speak, it would seem a little odd that they're set up. And I don't want to delay this contract either, because I know that you guys, but with that, I think it's a good thought and a good idea.
First of all, thank you all for being at the meeting this past week. That was a great meeting. We accomplished a lot. My personal opinion is I don't see a problem with that at all. I mean, as I think you gentlemen witnessed, there's nothing we're doing there that we wouldn't want to share with the world, but that's, I don't know whether we can, legally do that or not with John's group, with DCV or not. I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, I have no problem with taking it back and asking that be the case. We meet about once every 60 days with the board. We actually just met today, and so there will be another meeting for a couple of months, and We did not have a executive committee meeting today, which I think we probably will have one next month. But yeah, I just don't, I don't have any reason to believe that that wouldn't be well received, quite frankly, with the discussions we've had already.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Jamie.
Yeah. Well, let me just make a comment. I feel very comfortable having three of our hotelers on the board, and I know we all have the same mission here, making sure that you get as many visitors to your hotel as you possibly can, particularly during these trying economic times. And personally, I would feel very comfortable with the information that you and the other two members of the Dunwoody contingency would be able to relate to this council. So I wouldn't necessarily think it would be a bad idea if they wanted to. I think we could probably accommodate and not be, if we could be, helpful in this scenario, but I don't think it's absolutely essential.
Okay, thank you, Danny. Yes, Danny.
With the consent of the second of the amendment, I'd like to rephrase the amendment.
Okay.
That we added the statement that we request.
Well, they provide notice and allow the attendance of.
How about that, that we request that, ask that a member could be appointed by the mayor as an expected member.
Okay.
I think it's, I'm not trying to delay.
Okay, Brian, so it's clarification on, basically, I think what Danny's saying is not to amend the contract, but just to ask that the mayor can appoint someone from council to...
Well, we can certainly request, but what I would think, to be an actual ex officio member would probably require them changing their bylaws.
Yeah.
So what would probably be a whole lot easier is just that they provide notice to the city and allow the attendance of a council member at the meetings during the duration of the contract. That they should be able to do without amending any of the bylaws. That should be an ex officio. Probably would be a little bit more work.
Okay. Is that a question?
The same thing.
Okay. According to myself in a second.
All right. Any discussion on the amended language?
My whole reason here is not to delay this or question you or anything else. But it's just, I think we have a fiduciary responsibility to the citizens. This is their funds, and to make sure that we have somebody come back and report you to the council. I think it's a normal course of good business practice, in my estimation.
No disagree with there whatsoever. We were very happy with the accountability issues that both Danny and Robert brought to the table.
All right, wonderful. Yes.
They're not the citizens' funds. Tourism and, it gets heads and beds for the hotels in the city, which is going to help the business in the city of Dunwoody because it will bring people into the restaurants and into other businesses.
Yes, that's a great point. I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the things that I think you should understand, the hotels are actually the number two benefactor, or is it number three?
Number three
benefactor of this tax. The number one benefactor is Perimeter Center, and the number two is the other restaurants. So they're actually the third beneficiary of this. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, we're changing the doors of our hotel so you can get in, but you can't get out.
You got credit card numbers on file, I know. All right, Robert.
Point of information. I suspect that we've got two separate items of business here. The first is to approve the contract. And the second is to put forward a resolution asking that we be notified of board meetings so that we can attend. I don't think you can do them all in one vote. I don't think we're changing the document at all. So
can you clarify that we're going to have to do this in two sections, or can we do it once?
I would do it in two.
All right. Okay. So any discussion, we'll go to number one on the contract itself.
Point of order.
Yes.
We have amended on the table.
Yeah.
Point of order.
Yeah.
With
Any discussion on this withdrawal? Does anybody want to vote on this? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, so we're back to the contract as it stands.
I'll second it.
All right, Robert seconds. Any discussion on the contract as it stands, as it is amended? We had our public hearing. No discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, contract passes. Now, is the resolution still standing?
I move that we request the DeKalb Convention and Visitors Bureau to advise us in advance of their meeting so that we can have a representative from the city council attend their meetings.
Okay. There is a second. All right, Brian, clarification, since this is not on the agenda, do I need public hearing?
Yeah, you probably should get public comments.
All right, anybody would like to speak in favor of this resolution, please come to the podium. Anybody would like to speak against, please come to the podium. I will close public comment now. And we did have a second on that, is that right? Okay, great. Any discussion on that, guys? I thought we'd be out of here quick, too. All right, all in favor? Any opposed? All right, that resolution passes. Award of office furniture contract. Mr. Huttmacher.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. This item is being brought to you. It is a budgeted item within the 2009 fiscal year budget for the city, but the cost of the bids exceed $50,000, and with an abundance of caution, instead of signing it because it was approved in the budget, I'm coming to y'all to make the award on this contract. We did receive three bids. Our companies are Office Images, Business Environments, and DeKalb Office Environments. What this is for approximately two-thirds of the office space. The first phase, which had to be quickly ordered, was with the police department. That was a $33,000 bid for the space that's already been covered. The furniture was installed this past weekend. So this would be the remainder of the space, which would include the council chamber, the remaining small portion of the police department on the first floor, and then all of the second floor furniture. What's not listed in this memorandum, which I believe y'all have been informed of, is that we were able to work out a very favorable deal with our current landlord, Healthmark, in the space we have in Sandy Springs. And what the financial impact of this, we were able to purchase everything that wasn't nailed down, including the refrigerator, all of the furniture, bookshelves, chairs, everything within our current office space in Sandy Springs for a cost of $12,000. What that did was saved us $36,000 worth of furniture that we would have had to purchase otherwise. We did a second deal with another company that was going out of business in Dunwoody, and we were able to purchase an enormous amount of used file cabinets and other furniture from them that probably saved us, looks like, about $30,000. And we purchased that for $3,000. So there's a $27,000 margin between those bids. So with those cost savings and the bids for what we needed to finish the rest of the space, the three bids came to a cost of $184,000 for office images, $205,000 for business environments, and $147,000 for DeKalb office environments. After thoroughly reviewing the proposals with our interior designer and our project manager with Boynton International, we are recommending that the council award the bid to DeKalb office environments with a low bid of $147,808. And with the absence of a table for the council at the council chamber, which is still yet to be ordered, this will complete all the other furniture except for that one table.
Okay, questions for Warren, Danny?
Did we look at getting the rest of the furniture from the used market? There seems to be a lot of it out there.
We did. We reviewed that, and one of the challenges we had from a consistency standpoint with the bulk of furniture that we needed, we looked at both options. with the discount that we were able to get by doing the bulk ordering, it came out to a fairly close price distance between what we estimate the use would be versus new. But then you also have the issue of it being new and also the consistent look of the furniture. So we went with the new based on that analysis.
Adrian?
Did we originally budget, was it around $400,000 for office furniture?
We did. $420,000 was what was within the budget. And this cost was $147,800 plus it was about $33,000, I think, or $38,000 for the police side, the rest of it. So that comes out to about $185,000. And then we still have one table to buy, which is not going to be considerable. So it's a significant cost savings from our budget. Now, remember, too, we did reallocate some of those dollars back into the rest of the construction budget to alleviate our having to borrow any additional funds. So it is a good cost savings that they did, and in fact, in the end, saved the city some considerable dollars.
Is it around $200,000? It was around $200,000.
A little bit more. Yeah. About $240,000. $230,000.
Is the table you're looking at for us nicer than that?
It's your kitchen table.
Are the chairs.
Yeah. I'll sell that for a couple grand.
Yeah. It'll be appropriate for a council meeting.
Excellent.
And a courtroom.
Is it going to be a round table that we can use as a conference table as well as a
meeting
table?
There'll be two tables. The way that the room is going to be set up is there'll be one room that'll be similar to this but a little bit larger. And that'll be the courtroom / council chamber, and that will have a table that will have a curve to it. So y'all will be able to look at each other a little bit during the meetings, as much as you'd like to. And you'll have a secondary room. And you can kind of vision it this way. To the side of here, if that wall didn't exist there, there'll be a temporary wall that will go probably about 30 feet that will be retractable. It's going to be basically a big screen that comes across. There'll be a conference room in there for y'all's use. And then that conference room, when you're meeting with the public, in a public meeting, you open up the screen, and then we'll reverse the chairs. And so your work sessions can be held there at the conference table. It'll be a different format than from a dais. And so that's what we're suspecting. You'll do your work sessions from there, and the public will have ample access to be able to participate in the meeting as appropriately. And then you move to the big dais table for the council meetings themselves.
And question for Warren.
Warren, those figures for furniture, were they divided up under various areas like police and things like that, or were they all, was that under non-departmental?
What happened was we initially budgeted for it in both police and non-departmental, and then what you did in your budget amendment is you merged it into the capital budget, so it's all merged together now.
Your capital outlay?
Yep.
Any other questions for Warren? All right. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you.
I move we approve. Second.
John Hennigan, second. Robert made the motion. Any discussion on that? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Record service. Award of record servants contract.
So.
Chief.
Hey, how are y'all doing tonight?
Yeah.
We sent out an RFP for record services on March the 10th and received two proposals back on March 18th, one from A-Hill Broadway, one from Brown & Brown Record Service. And this towing service is basically the police department calls to have a vehicle towed. Who do we call? And based on the RFP that we received, we recommend Brown & Brown as the tow company for the city.
Questions for Chief? Yes, Danny.
Where do they tow the cars to?
Their service yard on 1 mile outside of Dunwoody.
North Peachtree Road.
That's easy accessible to the citizens of Dunwoody.
Yes.
No dogs in the yard or anything like that.
No, they have video surveillance.
I got my car towed one time downtown.
Oh, yeah.
There's some big wire. You can't get to your car unless you pay. I'll tell you that. Yes.
Do they pay us for the benefit of being the one that we call? And what do they pay, and where does the money go?
There's no fee per se. There is a $20 per tow charge that's been assessed that they'll collect for us to offset the cost of us managing the contract, keeping up with it, make sure that they're fulfilling their obligations in the contract.
Yeah, John. I've read the RFP. We didn't really get the contract. We're just getting a memo to say that we're approving the contract. But looking at the RFP, I have a couple of questions. Number one, the RFP says that the contractor shall post in a conspicuous place. I said that wrong. The price sheet reflecting the prices charged by the contractor. How much do we have that price sheet? Do we know what the contractor, yes, what Brown & Brown is going to be charging our residents for towing our cars?
Yes. And for the, I don't have the breakdown per se, but for the regular vehicle, four-wheel vehicle would be $125, which is the rate that DeKalb, I think Shambly, Doorville charges. It's basically the same rate. And then for the next step, I think it's six wheels, it's $155, and then for the larger ones, $205.
I also know that they are the contractor for DeKalb County Police. And they are very busy, and they're being servicing. I tried to call them personally to use their service, and they didn't have the time for me because they were backlogged serving DeKalb Police. What assurances do we have that we are going to get the service, since we're a much smaller contract, more than likely, to DeKalb Police?
Well, we're much larger than Shambly and Doorville. They have both of those contracts as well.
Okay.
And both of those individual departments were pleased with the service that they're getting from Brown & Brown. It's in the contract that they're to provide, I think, a 20-minute response 90% of the time.
Correct.
And we'll certainly be monitoring that, and if they are not able to uphold that, then we can break the contract and contract with someone else.
Right. The RFP didn't really say how that was going to be measured, whether it was based on when you called or when they get this call. Or
it's when they get the call from dispatch.
Okay.
And in their arrival time.
And the last thing I saw is that the contractor, Brown & Brown, shall maintain a list of all employees and all their qualifications. Is Brown & Brown allowed to subcontract? And if so, are they going to have and supply the city of a full list of contractors that they're using with their qualifications?
They have all the equipment and will not have to subcontract unless it's some especially large piece of equipment for some really bad wreck or something like that,
okay,
and they can't subcontract. But that would be on an as-needed basis, and they do not provide those employees' names.
Okay. I think I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, Dan. Help me to understand the authority that they're going to have as a contractor. Let's suppose you had a car that's parked in a handicap zone in front of the mall. Will they have the authority to go and tow that car off and park it illegally?
Not unless we request it.
And so it's only through the police?
Yeah, this is only for police department requested tows, non-consensual tows. I think that record company and other record companies, well, may do private tows off private property where they have a sign posted, you know, do not leave your car here, we'll tow it and that sort of thing. So that would be totally something different.
Something different.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Yes, thank you.
Chief, one of the things that, yeah, I don't know anything about Brown & Brown, I'm sure you do, but one of the things that I would do, I don't know how we do this, but to impress upon them that, you know, here we treat our citizens a little different maybe than other place else, you know,
yes.
They're the reason for our being, so, you know, I just, you know, the whole thing, kind of like we do the City Hall, you know, with some manners and you know, how may I help you and things like that,
yes.
And I'll get the hell out of my way, I'm towing your car or something like that. I hope that's impressed upon these folks.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm very serious about that. Thank you.
One question. Just in case something happens to a car, if they damage a car, they have the right to.
Yes, that's correct. If they damage a vehicle.
That's good. So maybe an idea that for DUI folks, give them flowers, have them give flowers when they're towing their car out. That would be a nice one.
Not as good.
All right, any other questions for Chief? Thank you, Tom.
I second that.
All right, there's a second. Any other discussion on this? See, if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, we have no other business that I'm aware of. Public comment, part two. Do we have any new public comment folks, Brian?
I don't see any on the table. I don't see any on the table.
Okay.
I move to go into executive session.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Brian, do we have to state the purpose? Yeah, can you state the purpose?
Yeah. Yes, for discussion of...
Discussion of real estate concerns.
All right. We're in the executive.
And we're not going to do any business when we get back, right?
Yeah, we will be doing no new business when we get back. So we're going to adjourn afterwards. 24.